gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. 'Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life. 'Cause I can't stop the war. Shelter homeless, feed the poor.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. Today my guest is David Schroeder. David was born into a practicing Luciferian family in Omaha, Nebraska. He was tortured in the MK Ultra program until the age of 10, after he endured the horrific experience of being forced to light a man on fire. As a young adult, David was involved with the key players of the Franklin Credit Union scandal in Nebraska because the players were all his parents' friends. The Franklin scandal involved a network of pedophile rings in Nebraska and Washington, D.C. that traded young children to wealthy people and politicians in the U.S. for sexual abuse, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and blackmail. David has been working nonstop for over 15 years to expose his family's activities and has written a book entitled Rabbit Hole, a Satanic Ritual Abuse Survivor Story. He has a blog titled DavidSchroeder.com and has many YouTube videos, including a documentary entitled David's Story, The Childhood Ritual Abuse of David Schroeder, which I posted on my Facebook timeline. Today I want David to explain his history and how he became a satanic ritual abuse survivor, and then I want to focus on how this system is still operating today and the people in political offices who are involved in it and why it needs to be exposed. Let's bring David on and get started on the show. Welcome, David.
Hey, thank you for having me, Evelyn.
Oh, I'm so glad you could come on again. Let's get a background for people that aren't very familiar with all of this of your history as a child. Let's do a brief background of that and tell you in how you came out of this as an adult. But explain what is done to you children when you're little to this MK Ultra program and where they do it. And who's involved and things like that. Could you do that?
Yeah, I was actually born into it. My father was heavily enmeshed before I was even conceived. I had three older siblings, the youngest of which was 12 years older than I am, and they were heavily involved before I was a gleam in anyone's eye. And so when I was conceived, it pretty much started then, and especially when I was born, they were raising me to be the Antichrist. The story about my birth is that my mother went into labor with me Thanksgiving night, and they parlayed my conception until December 6, 1966. So, of course, I'm going to have the 666 in my birthday.
And, tell people what the 666 means. I mean, I know, but briefly, tell people what the 666 means.
You know, it was just an identification that was written in the Bible the Antichrist was to be recognized by the number 666.
Okay.
It was very important to them. Dates are very important to these Luciferians. They work a lot with numerology and astrology and all of that. And so it was pretty intense. I actually, when I was born, because of the pressure that it caused, I ended up causing my mother, first of all, I was breached. From what I understand, my hands were, you know, behind my head, so my elbows were out, and my mother used to tell me this, and I used to laugh and say, "Well, yeah, 'cause I didn't want to be here," you know. And so I ended up causing my mother to have a stroke, and she ended up dying for I think like 7 minutes. They were able to revive her, but it was very rough on my mother.
very traumatic birth for her.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, the MK Ultra stuff started almost immediately. Okay. I went through what I refer to as a spinning program. You see astronauts get on this machine and they're twirled around in every single direction. And they were doing that to me as a baby. It is supposed to separate a person from being able to connect to their environment, especially when it happens at a young age. And so, but it went way beyond that, and it was heavy. I mean, I was under the age of 10. I was being forced to partake in rituals. There were many times that they made me kill young boys. You hear a lot about, they kill and eat babies. I just want to say, there were no babies involved in my abuse. Because in a ritual, what they do is they torture a child. And for me, it was all prepubescent boys. And they torture the child, and at the very crescendo of this torture, they end up slaughtering the child, and then everybody drinks the blood. Because this blood, because it's so full of endorphins, acts like an aphrodisiac. And after every blood sacrifice, I got gang raped every single time.
You did.
And so everyone had sex, and I wasn't, I mean, my siblings' abuse was very similar, but not exactly. You know, they weren't raised to believe they were the Antichrist. My sister remembers all kind, you know, boys, girls, adults being murdered. And for me, it was just prepubescent boys. That's all I ever remember.
Okay, let's go back to the start. They started out with this MKUltra program with the spinning when you were an infant. What did they do after that to bring you into
it? It's kind of hard to put it all together because, I mean, this all happened at the age of, under the age of 10, and I'm going to be 50 at the end of this year. So it's, we're talking quite some time, but spinning
programs.
Were
you taken to some Air Force base or some military base to have?
The MK Ultra training that I went through was always conducted off at Air Force Base, which is in Bellevue, Nebraska. It was done in it was underneath the ground. It doesn't exist anymore because I think about 5 years ago, they filled it up with concrete and built a $2 or $3 million statue on top of it. So there's no way to even access it any longer.
Was that because people were talking about it, you think?
What?
Do you think that was because people, MK Ultra victims, were talking about it?
You know, yes. You know, I can't say for sure, because who knows why they do anything that they do.
Right.
But from what I know in Omaha, Nebraska, and Bellevue is just a suburb of Omaha, Nebraska, they do just about anything they can to cover their tracks.
Okay.
And, you know, this was about 5 years ago. This was when I was heavily involved in trying to get this all investigated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it could be that they're just covering their tracks. I mean, you can look at that, but then you can also say there was a boy in Omaha, Nebraska, by the name of Ricky Chaddick, and he was murdered. And I went to Nebraska State Patrol and dealt with the detective John Pankaden, who was the cold case person involved in supposedly investigating this. And I demanded that he take my DNA because there was a man and a woman involved in the abduction. That's known.
How many years ago was that abduction?
You know, Ricky Chaddick was probably, I don't know. If you give me a second, I can look it up. I'll just go on the computer and look it up.
But it was when you were a child?
Well, it had to have been in 86,
Okay.
86, 87, because what's interesting about the Ricky Chaddick case is that he was murdered exactly the same way the two boys were murdered that John Jubert found himself on death row for. And so he was gutted, and people don't know that. I know that because John Pankinen told me that he was gutted. He was not only, John Pankinen not only spoke to me, but he spoke to my sister Kathy. And right after I went to go have this, I demanded that he take my DNA so that he could compare it to the DNA that was left on Ricky Chaddick's body. And right after that, John Pankinen's sister, True Pankinen, ingratiated herself in mine and my sister Kathy's life. And so he sent his sister to come hang out with us and keep tabs on us, on both of us. And so, you know, this is a, you know, is it protocol for a detective working a cold case file to send his sister into the lives of people who are trying to get this exposed? Obviously not. And yet, this is what happened. And so, it was just, you know, Omaha has been, when
so,
I...
So how does this tie in with everything else? The murder
Ricky
of this
Chaddick,
kid, I mean,
Ricky,
it was back in 87?
I think it was 87.
But
was,
you were, so you're saying you were there? That you
I think? Wasn't there. I was never, see, the reason why I want to get this investigated so bad is because my father was a child abductor.
Right.
Who was working, I believe my family were directly connected to what they called the Finders. The Finders that first came out in Tallahassee. They got busted with six children. These children had no idea who they were. They had no idea who their parents were because they were so young.
Explain what the Finders are. I mean, I don't think, I never heard that until today. What does Finders mean?
The Finders is what they titled, what ended up happening in Tallahassee is that two men were busted with these children. And they obviously weren't connected to these children. They shouldn't have had these children.
Right.
And they got termed the Finders, which is they're basically a child abduction ring.
Okay.
And the Finders happened in Tallahassee. Well, interestingly enough, my brother and older sister were living 30 miles away from Tallahassee. I believe what ended up happening is they busted these two guys with all these kids, and they let those two guys go. And there was never any record of them. That there was record that it happened. There was record that they had children, but they didn't legally go after these people. They weren't put in jail. Nothing happened to these men. And so you can go online and Google the Finders, and everything will pull up. I mean, it's well known.
What are you saying? Do you think that was your father and your brother that did that?
I believe it was my brother and older sister. My older sister and my brother never left the cult. They were in league with my father. Which, I mean, you find, you know, all of this sounds crazy. But my story is very similar to thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of other people around the world who are saying the exact same thing.
Okay,
and
let me stop you right here. Wait a minute. Okay, so you wanted them to take your DNA and match it up with what blood that was found on this child that was murdered?
Ricky Chaddick, it would match? Because I'm trying, if I can get my father, if I can prove that my father was connected to this, then it validates what I've said, that my father was a child abductor. He was working for a cult. They were raping and killing children, and that they were heavily involved with a case in Omaha called the Franklin Credit Union scandal, which you can also Google, and tons of information will come up on that as well.
Sure.
And the Franklin Credit Scandal, it was a child abduction and trafficking ring that was reported to go straight to the George Bush Sr. White House.
Exactly.
And so, but when it came out, and all of this really hit ahead in Omaha, because a girl, a minor at the time by the name of Alicia Owen, came forward and said that she was carrying the baby of who was chief of police of Omaha, Robert Wadman, at the time.
Right.
And so she came in. All of a sudden, she found herself surrounded by a man named Paul Bonacci, who was since convicted of being a child molester, and Troy Bonner, who I knew personally, and who was involved with everything that was going on in Omaha. He was what was called a bear boy. They were two men. All of this was pretty much centered in the gay lifestyle in Omaha, Nebraska. And there were two men that were well known, Larry King, who ran Franklin Credit, and a man by the name of Alan Bear. And in town, if you were involved with this, you were either known as a bear boy or a King's man. And Troy was a bear boy. So what ended up happening is that they surrounded Alicia Owen. They went in front of Paul Bonacci went in front of a grand jury, did this bizarre multiple personality act. And the grand jury, after it was all done, came forward and said that everything that was going on in Omaha, they called it, and I quote, a carefully crafted hoax. Never bothered to say who started the hoax or who was behind the hoax. They just called it a hoax. And I have had a lot of dealings with Paul Bonacci. He has, you can see his weird act on YouTube.
I know he's multiple personalities are out there. There's no doubt about that. But like, the point is, there were so many top politicians in this.
That's just it. It was all politicians. At the same time we had Omaha, we had people like Barney Frank, who was hosting a prostitution ring right out of his house.
Right. And a little bit of that got in the news at the time. A little bit of it. And in fact, I think they said it was his boyfriend or something that was doing it. It wasn't him. He didn't know about it.
It's always someone else. You know?
Right.
But
when you got the controllers, you got the president and the vice president of the United States running this show, they are able to shut all this down.
And they have.
Right.
This all started, Omaha was the granddaddy of this whole situation. And then in the 90s, we started to hear all of these parents come forward saying that their children were being satanically ritually abused in their preschools. And this wasn't just one place. This was all over the country that people were coming forward. And so what they did, what our government did, is they formed a CIA group called the False Memory Syndrome Foundation. And all of these people were parents who had been accused of satanically ritually abusing their children.
Their own children,
and so
right?
I
said, and they do it to their own children.
And they were doing it to their own children. That's why they formed it, because they were all accused.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one person in the founding False Memory Syndrome Foundation. And let me say, it's already been proven that false memory is not a syndrome. You can't create false memories. You can put a false idea in someone's head, but you can't create false memory. And it's never been proven. It's never been proven. You know, and
yet these children
are
all having the same false memory, huh?
Well, false memory and the terms false memory and satanic panic all originated from this CIA group, this false memory group. But you also have to understand that the very term conspiracy theory came from our CIA when people started questioning the assassination of Kennedy.
Right.
And so all of these terms that we've heard all come from our government, trying to hide everything. And so the false memory gave us, the FMSF gave us false memories and satanic panic. So if you heard about this, you would just dismiss it. And the huge case in America that they used to shut all this down was a case called McMartin. McMartin was a preschool in California. At the time, it was the longest and most costly trial in America.
Yeah, once it went to trial. But these children were saying they had satanic abuse done to them at the school, right?
Well, they were talking about tunnels being taken down into tunnels underneath
McCartney. Originally, though, these children were all saying the same thing, that they had experienced satanic ritual abuse at this school.
And that's the key. That's the thing that I wanted to get to, is that you have hundreds of thousands of people all over the world who are saying the exact same things, who have no idea who the others are. And so you have the same stories coming out everywhere. And how is it that people who don't know each other, and this was before the internet, how is it that they all came under the same delusion? You know, and McMartin, that was one preschool, but what they don't bother to tell you is that it was one of seven just in that area alone.
Yeah, you know that, right?
Yeah, and one of them was a Long Beach Catholic Church preschool.
Okay.
And so as we know, everyone got off on McMartin, and they said, "Oh, it's all fake and all of that." But
again, these kids.
Well, what ended up happening, the most interesting part about this thing, is that after the trial, they tore down McMartin preschool, and there were people who got permission to do a 3-day excavation on the land of McMartin. In that 3 days, they found the tunnels. They not only found the tunnels, they found animal bones and satanic relics. Mm-hmm. So you explain to me how this all was kept out of the longest and most costly trial America had ever seen at that time.
Isn't this something? How are they able to do this?
You know, how were those tunnels kept out of court? And so, you know, and you only have to look and see that there was weird things going on when you look at George Bush and the whole case of Jeff Gannon. Jeff Gannon, when he came out, what ended up happening, Jeff Gannon was a male prostitute who not only was allowed into the media room of the White House, he was often given the first question by George Bush.
Right.
And nobody knew where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out that he was a prostitute. Well, after they found out he was a prostitute and no one knew who he was or how he got the credentials, I mean, Evelyn, you're on the radio. You go to the White House and get in the media room and ask the first question. See how easy it is. You know? And so nobody knew who he was. So there's a case called the Johnny Gosch case. He was one of three paperboys in Des Moines who was abducted within a year and a half. And all of a sudden, they started to claim that Jeff Gannon was Johnny Gosch. It was another distraction. You know, don't focus on why he's in the White House. Don't focus on how he got there. Don't focus that he's a male prostitute. He's Johnny Gosch now. And so it became this huge issue, and it just got deflected and became this circus, which is always what happens.
Right.
And so there is just story after story after story that have all been proven factual.
Right, when they kidnap somebody like this Johnny Gosch, and then they turn him into an MKUltra sex slave or whatever, where do they live? Where do they stay?
And the thing about it is that, first of all, the thing about it is that the children that they're abducting, even though they're children, they're not part of the MKUltra program. because MK Ultra, from what I understand and from what I know of my own experience, is generational. And in order to effectively get you programmed or trained, I won't say programmed, but trained in the MK Ultra fashion, they have to have you as a baby up till the age of 3, because most of what you focus on is formulated by the age of 3. Your connection with people, your look at the world, everything is formed by 3. And so they weren't MK Ultra sex slaves. They were just flat out sex slaves. And where do they stay? Well, if you go, I think we talked about this last time. There was a documentary called The Playground on Netflix. And they were talking about child sex trafficking and how it worked. And the story was is that there were two girls who were abducted in Seattle. They found them in the Philippines. What ends up happening is that they get your kid and they ship it anywhere in the world. Okay. You know, they can be anywhere in the world. Now, Johnny Gush, I don't believe he's alive. I don't. There are people who do. I don't. Mm-hmm. First of all, we don't have one person in 35 years who can come forward and say, I knew Johnny Gush, and prove it. They can say it all they want, but no one has proven that they knew Johnny Gush. And the other thing is that when a child gets abducted and for better terms, they get hot, they become a hot potato because they get a lot of publicity or people are looking for them and there's a big focus on them. Right. Those children are always murdered. Because we have a group of people who have a multi-billion, if not multi-trillion dollar organization. Do you really think they're going to let one child jeopardize all that money?
True.
And this is a huge organization. And it's, you know, it's already been shown that it's global. Because the same time that people were saying that their children were being abused in their preschools, they were being satanically ritually abused, the exact same time it happened in America, it also happened in the UK, and it also happened in Australia. Exact same time, exact same allegations. Now we know, without a doubt, that the UK covered it up. Because now they're saying, well, we can't investigate it. Now, yes, it was covered up, but we can't investigate it because it's historical. You know, it's too historic. The people are old and a lot of them are dead. We can't look into it. But the question is that what's been said over and over and over, and we've heard this for, 30 years now? They're all lies. The people who claim it are crazy. And there was no proof. Now we have definite, solid proof that the UK covered up these allegations. If these allegations were so false and so phony, one, why did they, you know, who was involved? Two, exactly what were the allegations? And three, if they were so false and everyone was so crazy, why spend all the time and effort to cover it up in the first place?
Correct.
You know? And so that's the question. And we know the UK covered it up. Australia, we know they covered it up.
Right.
In America, it's still questionable. That's the reason why I'm pushing so hard, because if I can prove my dad and my family's involvement with all of this, it'll bring a whole new light to all of this. And right now there's, you know, I've written on my blog, so I won't mention the name, but there's a case of an abducted child by the name of Jacob Wetterling. He was abducted in Minnesota in 86. At that time in 86, my younger, older sister and my brother lived in the Twin Cities, and my oldest sister lived in Malacca, Minnesota. Jacob Wetterling was abducted in between the Twin Cities and Malacca, Minnesota. And so the man, the story is that Jacob Wetterling was with his older brother and his best friend. A guy pulled up He stuck his hand down all three of their pants and felt up their genitals. I don't know if my father was looking for the smallest or the largest, but he was obviously in search of something. He chose Jacob Wetterling, pointed a gun at the other two, and told them to run into the woods. And so they did, and Jacob Wetterling was never seen again. Years ago, when I was involved in this investigation, I called the Jacob Wetterling Foundation. And in the conversation, I told the woman who was talking to me, I said, let me guess. Jacob Wetterling was abducted by a man who was driving a great big blue utility truck. She became very quiet over the phone, told me I was correct, and then proceeded to ask me how I would know that, because that was an aspect to this abduction that was never released to the public. Well, okay. Of course I knew, because my dad was working for Northern Propane Gas. That's what he drove, was a big blue utility truck.
Okay.
And so they had, you know, how I got involved with this, because I was in Omaha at the time. I was involved with this whole Franklin thing. I had no clue what was going on in Omaha. But my sister Kathy, who is the youngest of my older siblings, emailed me. She ended up sending me pictures of the abductor. And she didn't bother to tell me anything about it. She just said, I want you to look at these pictures, and I want you to just tell me what you think. So I get these pictures, and I call her up and said, who did this? This is Dad. It looks exactly like Dad.
Right.
She told me it was Jacob Wetterling's abduction. This is the pictures of the abductor, the police profile pictures that the kids explained and drew.
Right.
And so that's how I knew it was my father. So about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, I ended up contacting one of the witnesses, one of the boys who was with, who, I mean, obviously they're grown men now, but who were with Jacob Wetterling when he was abducted. Right. And I told him who I was, sent him to my blog, told him about my book, and sent a picture of my dad. My dad's right. Northern Propane Gas pick. Because my dad, at the time Jacob Wetterling was abducted, that was the picture that I had. My dad would have looked exactly like that. It was taken right around that time.
Right.
I haven't heard anything back. I know he's gotten it because I sent it to him on Facebook. So, I mean, obviously, when you PM somebody on Facebook, it shows that it's been read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that he has seen it, but I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything back from him. I haven't heard anything back from the police. But since I've done that, I have been attacked on my blog worse than the whole 10 years I've had this blog.
Okay.
They have tried everything to take down my blog. So it tells me that the guy recognized my dad. Of course he's not going to contact me. If you are involved with a child abduction and someone sent you a picture of the abductor, you wouldn't call the person who sent you the picture. You'd call the authorities.
Right.
And chances are the authorities have told him not to contact me because, you know, if they're investigating this, they don't want anything to ruin this investigation. But I don't trust. I've been in this far too long. I do not trust the police. I certainly don't trust the FBI.
So you want to prove that this was your father abducting these children, and then
if I can prove my father abducted these children, it'll cast a whole new light on this whole situation. A whole new light. All of these allegations that have been dismissed from all of these hundreds of thousands of people will have new life put into them. Because I'll be able to prove what I said.
And
I am a recovering
survivor. Who was your father in connection with there in Omaha, and like within the Franklin scandal?
All of those people that were involved in the Franklin scandal and all of that were my parents' friends.
Okay.
That's how I got messed up with this. Because I left my dad's house 3 days after I graduated high school. I couldn't take anymore. I ran.
Okay.
Went to University of Northern Iowa, had a disastrous semester there. Ended up leaving there, went to Des Moines for about a month, and one day, my oldest sister and I had a huge connection. She was born on 6/12, I'm born on 12/6, she was the oldest, I was the youngest, we always had a very strong connection. And she called me up one day and asked me what I was doing, and for some fluke of a reason, I told her the truth. I was 18 years old, I was living with some guy that I couldn't stand, he was gone to work, and so I had blown out the pilot lights of the gas stove and turned on all the gas, and I was just waiting to either be asphyxiated or blown up. And so my sister Cindy said, turn off the gas and I'll call you back in 10 minutes. So I did. She called me back in 10 minutes. My mother lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and she had been sick and needed someone to take care of her. And so she asked my mom, I went to go live with my mom. That's how I got involved with all of these people, because they went through my mom to get to me and got me involved. And so I was involved with all of these people. And again, you can read it. I mean, there are people. My publisher hates this. Rabbit Hole is a great book. It really is. It was nominated for Best Book of the Year in a prestigious indie award contest. And so Rabbit Hole is great. But I have the extended version on my blog in the pages above. I always ran with the title Confessions of an Antichrist. But my publisher wouldn't let me use that title because she told me if the Antichrist is on the title, no one's going to read it. The difference between what I wrote, Confessions of an Antichrist, and Rabbit Hole, is that Rabbit Hole, with everything they took out and everything they added, is only 62,000 words. What I wrote, Confessions of an Antichrist, it's on my blog, you can read it for free, that is 130,000 words. That's the whole story.
The whole story, yeah.
And I didn't write it to publish it. When I sat down and wrote Confessions of an Antichrist, you have to understand, I spent the majority of my life telling myself I was crazy, that what I remembered couldn't possibly be true. I had to be crazy. So I sat down and wrote Confessions of an Antichrist and wrote down everything I remembered. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted to see my life in black and white. I wanted to figure out if what I remembered was possible. And after I wrote Confessions of an Antichrist, what I realized was what I remembered was not only possible, it was probable. Because there was so much detail to everything.
Right.
And so, the only reason why I published Rabbit Hole is because few of my friends read my book, Confessions of an Antichrist, and then told me it was too important not to publish.
Right.
And so I took it to a publisher. Yes, it's a vanity publication. I had to pay for it to be published. But the information needed to be out. And
because I've heard you say that you went public with this, that not for yourself, but it would have just been you, and you endured all these things and withstood them, that you wouldn't have went public. It's because of all the other people out there that are suffering through this, that
it's
been exposed.
Had it been my own abuse, and it had stopped with me, I would have walked. I would have left it in the past and just gone on and lived my life. Because, let me tell you, the attention that I have gotten from all of this has not been pleasant. You know, people saying, I have the bad guy saying, oh, he's just wanting attention and blah, 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 blah. Well, if you actually believe that having dead animals left in your yard and getting death threats every day and having your cars trashed And the stuff that I've had to endure with this, it has not been fun by any means.
Oh, I know.
I chose to do this when I realized that this was still happening to children. That's why I got involved with this, is that it's still happening with kids, and someone has to try and stop it. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's nobody trying to stop it. Nobody's getting involved. Everybody turns a blind eye to it. And
over the years, people that have got involved and people that, from reporters to private investigators to police officers to prosecutors, how many of them end up dead?
They all end up dead.
Killed off.
But because I grew up with this and I knew how the game was played from the very beginning, I tell people, when I came out with this, when I finally became public and I went to do this, the only reason I'm still alive is, one, Alan Bear was dead. I didn't do this until after 2006. My dad was dead, and Alan Bear was dead. Because Alan Bear was the gatekeeper. I talk about that in my book, Confessions of an
Alan Bear, again, now, explain who he actually was. He was from Nebraska, from Omaha?
Alan Bear was from Nebraska. He was involved with he was married to a woman named Marcia Brandeis.
Right.
Marcia Brandeis's father was John Brandeis. John Brandeis was heavily involved in this whole MK Ultra and this whole pedophile thing. The most interesting part about John Brandeis is at the time when Charles Manson had his group do all those murders, and they were living at that dilapidated film studio place. Right across the street was where John Brandeis lived at the time, because he had moved from Omaha to there. He was in Sunnyville Ranch, which was right across the street from Charlie Manson. And I believe, because I know someone who was also involved, she was also raised in this MK Ultra. And she's older than I am. She's 65 years old. And in her group, the people that she had, some of you might recognize the names, Billy Graham, Charlie Manson, there's one other one that she talks about. But she
was in her group for what? To become MK Ultra group?
Right, right. Jim Jones. Jim Jones was also part of her group.
Okay.
And what happened was, and people say, my MK Ultra training, their ultimate goal was to make me into a psychopath. They wanted me to be a psychopath. They, as under the age of 10, they made me murder prepubescent young boys and then made me have sex with the corpse, with the dead body.
Wow.
They did everything they could to make me into a psychopath. Well, if they did it to me, they were obviously doing it to others. Do you think Jim Jones was a psychopath? Do you think Charlie Manson was a psychopath?
Right.
And Billy Graham became big. He became big. And yet if you listen to Fiona Barnett in Australia, he was one of her main abusers.
Right.
He raped her continuously at the Bohemian Grove.
Right. Would it be
she
has
a documentary. For people who don't know who Fiona Barnett is, you can go online. She also has a documentary called Candy Girl.
Last October, she testified before the Royal Commission over there in Australia, right?
Yes, she has. She is the fundamental person who has brought this issue out in Australia.
Right, and Royal Commission investigates abuse that went on in institutions that the government didn't investigate. Is that correct?
All child homes. Child homes that were connected to the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
You know? And what's interesting about, if you watch Fiona Barnett's documentary and you watch my documentary, you will find that they are incredibly similar. Our stories
are almost identical. And we
have only known each other for 6 months.
Right.
What's also interesting about that is Fiona Barnett's documentary came out first, then my documentary came out, but my documentary was filmed 3.5 years before Fiona.
Oh, really?
Before Fiona Barnett even did her documentary.
Right.
And she was raised as a grand dame. I was raised as an antichrist.
Right.
And so you can see that the stories, and you have to understand, Fiona and I had no clue who the other person was.
Exactly.
And yet we're telling the exact same story, basically.
Right.
She's in Australia. She's female. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, obviously in the United States, and I'm male.
Right.
But the same types of things were happening.
Right. And in her case, like she was considered kind of like special, right? So, I mean, every guy couldn't rape her, and she was given like as a gift to kind of to people, wasn't she? I mean, I think I read or heard on a video where one guy at one of the hunting parties where they take the kids out and make them go running naked and the politicians hunt them down, some guy, I guess, did rape her. And then I read where they killed him for doing that, for raping her.
He
wasn't allowed to rape her.
The same thing.
He didn't have permission.
The same thing was true for me. If
really?
You were lower echelon in the cult, you couldn't touch me. But
okay.
If you were high up in the cult, you could. Perfect
okay, so
example.
What kind of
Anton
people did
Scalia,
your dad?
Major.
What kind of people did your dad let you go with?
Of mine. What?
Pardon? I said, what kind of people did your dad let you go with to rape you?
I just named a name, Anton Scalia.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was one of my rapists.
Yeah, the Supreme Court Justice just got killed down in a hunting accident, or had a heart attack, but we know those hunting camps that are Bohemian Grove, that what they're doing is having those hunting parties where they gather up all these kids and shoot them and then have sex with their corpses and do everything else with them.
The same thing is true for the hunting lodge that Scalia was killed at as
right.
Bohemian Grove. And they're exactly
right.
The same as Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island.
Right.
They're hours away from every place, and the only way
mm-hmm.
to get there is to be mega wealthy.
Right.
The only way to get there is to be mega wealthy.
Right.
And they do hunt kids. They get them out, they hunt them. You know,
right.
They just like you'd hunt a deer, you know, they
mm-hmm.
they do that. And
right.
Anton Scalia, there's a man by the name of Dave Valentine. He is an old school investigator. And I had a friend of mine tell me, Anton Scalia, the reason why they didn't have an autopsy is because Anton Scalia, from what I understand, had just raped a 13-year-old boy who somehow was able to slit his throat.
Right.
That's the reason why there was never any investigation. There was no autopsy because they would have had to explain why Anton Scalia's throat was slit.
Right.
But Anton Scalia... go ahead.
I had the journalist Wayne Madsen on shortly after he died, because Wayne investigates all these things, and he had went down there and into that lodge, and he was telling me about all the, you know, all the Satanist objects in all over that lodge. And then what he found funny, too, was there was a baby bed outside of the door of these bedrooms, and this was all males.
Yeah.
What the hell was a baby bed doing there?
It's all males.
When it goes
just
back
like
to the
Bohemian Grove,
abuse.
It's all males.
Yeah.
You know, it's all males. And you can see pictures of the ranch. It's all these satanic masks are all over the walls. They have these huge satanic statues. You know, this isn't made up. You can Google it and go.
Well,
look
I know.
At
the range of pictures, and I see them. You know, and the thing about it is that this is how high up this goes. The
interesting part
of the United States.
The interesting part about Anton Scalia is that this connection to the Bohemian Grove with Anton Scalia at this ranch came from Fiona Barnett and myself. She did the research, sent me the research. I wrote the article, and a week later, the Washington Post picked it up.
Is
and
that
then
right?
Suddenly,
see, I was
going to
say the Post
everywhere.
Reported that. Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah, it was. We found that information and put it together a week before it ever came out. And when it came out,
mm-hmm.
during the about for 3 days, right after it came out, my blog it generally gets about 500 hits a day, was getting 4,000 mm-hmm. hits a day.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And so people were investigating.
We find out all these things, and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Well,
this is what I'm so angry and frustrated about. That we have the history that this has been going on, you know, documented, it's proven, documented, everything, and we can't stop it. And now when you bring up Jeffrey Epstein, there we are, we've got Clinton and we've got Trump running against each other, and Clinton and Trump, Bill Clinton and Trump, if you look at Jeffrey Epstein's little book there, they have the most numbers of anybody else in that book, and politicians from all over the world are in that book, and so are all the big money men from the banks, from the corporations. The top people are in that book, and this guy didn't do business with any of them, but he's got 20-some numbers for Clinton, got 20-some numbers for Trump, and they're sitting there, and even got a phone number for Trump's garden guy and everything else. What does he need to get in touch with these people so much for? You know, but they're all involved in this, and this stuff comes out, and the mainstream media hardly touches it, and then it dies down, and then it goes away, and they continue on. So now we got, looks like Hillary's going to be the president, there's no doubt about it. But Trump, her opponent, is a fellow pedophile. So here we've got pedophiles.
I don't know about
don't
that.
Get to the White House.
Bill Murray just threw his hat into the presidential race today.
Well, the votes and don't count. The election's been rigged. It's been rigged. It's been rigged before Obama even went in. The deal was Clinton would get in now, and she will. The Illuminati cabal decides everything, and the electronic voting systems are rigged, and our votes don't count for shit, so I don't care what anybody comes out there and says, good or bad about either one of them. Hillary will be the president. So the
Hillary Clinton will go and tell everybody that if you're being investigated by the FBI, you shouldn't own a gun. But obviously, if you're being investigated by the FBI, you can run for president. You know, you can't own a gun, but you can run for president.
Right, and Hillary's a pedophile, too. This is a thing that bugs me so much that people in America
not only
are mind controlled. They don't pay attention
to
anything.
She's not only a pedophile. From what they've said, she's a lesbian pedophile.
Oh, yeah, and that's
abusing little girls.
Well, I know it. Exactly. And you know, like the mind control woman, which one is it, that in her books, the one about the trance, the book, she had a whole chapter, I just read it yesterday, about going to the White House with the Clintons and everything. And then she remembers...
You're not thinking about Kathy O'Brien, are you?
Right, and that they do this to their own kids. She has a memory of a time at the White House with Hillary and Chelsea and an opera singer in... taking part in
I will tell you that I will warn you not to trust O'Brien or Phillips.
Well, I do trust her, David.
The thing about it is that I listened to an interview with her with Ed Oberman that she just had, and she paused for 30 seconds, 15 seconds to 30 seconds with every question. Which means someone was telling her what to say. And the thing that clued me off about Kathy O'Brien is, if she is an MKUltra victim, she was a low-level MKUltra victim. Because for MKUltra, they only chose the best and the brightest, and she's neither. She's neither. And so I don't trust her. And she's being run by Mark Phillips, who's
with the CIA. Are you saying she made this up? That she never went to the White House and participated with sex with Bill and Hillary?
Made this up? I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. I just know that Kathy O'Brien, it's the name that everybody brings up. And the problem with bringing Kathy O'Brien up is the same thing with bringing Ted Gunderson up. They are so controversial that most people will dismiss you because they think they're crazy.
But that's what they say about all of you. You know, if I went by that, people criticizing one or the other, then I couldn't believe any of you.
The difference between them and myself is that when you have a victim like Kathy O'Brien, who's been able to speak out for, 30 years, how is she still alive? Because back then they killed everybody who was talking out. How did she survive? how is, and the thing about it is that what ends up happening is that survivors who come forward, their lives are completely trashed. They don't get lots of money on speaking engagements. They don't fly all over the world with speaking engagements. It doesn't happen. I'm a perfect example. I make less than $9,000 a year. They have me so down that I can't, you know, the only reason I get people to listen to me is because I've been at this for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at someone who is involved with this, who's highly promoted and highly well-known and highly influential, you can't believe them because that's not how it works. The minute that you come, usually for a typical survivor who comes forward talking about this, if you tell anybody, authorities, anybody, the first thing they do is call you crazy, they lock you up, and they drug the ever-living crap out of you. And nobody gets to hear what you have to say. The only person in this whole situation that I actually trust who came forward is Bryce Taylor. But Bryce Taylor has been kept down. Yes, she wrote a book, but she doesn't get speaking engagements. She was the first person who came forward. Kathy O'Brien came out as a result of Bryce Taylor and her thanks for the memories type situation. When they're promoted, that means that they are controlled and they are also being helped. And so it's always a big red flag. It's always a big red flag. Because hundreds of thousands of survivors and only one gets to stand. Kathy O'Brien's the only one who gets to stand. Why does she get to stand? And Mark Phillips worked for the CIA. He'll tell you he worked for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about this is that in Ed Opperman's interview with Kathy O'Brien that they just did probably a month and a half ago, Ed Opperman asked them about McMartin. Kathy O'Brien wouldn't even answer the question. And Mark Phillips told Ed with a very irritated voice that they had nothing to do with McMartin.
Well, there's my music coming on, so I guess this is going to be cut off. I wish we could have talked more about all the people involved in this
Evelyn, anytime
you
want
to get this stopped. Pardon?
Anytime you want me, Evelyn, just get a hold of me. And Fiona is done. I will send you a thing so you can request a friendship
Complex
with Fiona.
Fiona, yes, I'd really like to get her on. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And
okay,
thank
you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. Okay,
I'd like to say
thank you.
It's a pleasure, but it's kind of stressful, so.
Oh, I know it is. Oh, I know it is. And it's stressful for me exposing this because, you know, people don't believe me either. They look at me like I'm crazy, like this can't possibly be happening right under our noses, but we know it is. And
the only way
this
is going to change if we all get together and start working together.
Right.
That's the only way this is going to stop.
We've got to. But the pedophiles are running this world, and if we don't stop them, we've got to save these kids. So, okay, thank you so much, David. I'll talk to you again soon. You too. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show, and we'll keep exposing this pedophiles running the world scandal because we've got to be able to stop it somehow. Well, thank you, and I hope you tune in next week, and we'll see you then. Bye. 'Cause I hear screaming on